number 10, the last type of mentor in the intensive level is called the coach. Now, a coach inspires the mentoree to perform a specific task. And this type of relationship often occurs when the mentoree engages in a new challenge or a new responsibility, often in an area never before explored or never before mastered, or in an area where a burden is felt to be too great to carry alone. When you're in new waters, it's very helpful to have someone who's been there before, helping you through, helping you navigate, and cheering you on and encouraging you. This relationship is very similar to a coach in basically any athletic sport. The coach wants to inspire more confidence in the players so that they can improve their performance. That is, so that they can do more than they think they can do. The coach provides encouragement. The coach provides feedback, resources, and the coach instills confidence with a "you can do it" attitude. The coach motivates the players, helps them with the necessary skills to achieve success, and helps them apply those skills to their particular situation. The coach coaches to help his players win, to meet the challenge head on and be able to succeed, whether it's basketball or bobsledding. Now, while an athletic coach usually works with a team or a group of players, the coach in the mentoring relationship works with a limited few, usually in a one-on-one coaching session. The focus of this relationship is inspiring and motivating and teaching the mentoree to successfully complete or perform a task. Three helpful steps in accomplishing this focus are observation, feedback, and evaluation. Observation is basically seeing how the mentoree is doing. The skilled coach will quickly be able to see where adjustments must be made. Feedback involves discussing this with the mentoree. And evaluation comes after the mentoree attempts to implement the feedback. The coach does not control the mentoree, but helps to equip him or her and provide skills and experience toward the goal of successfully completing a task, which is usually very challenging to the mentoree, or something very new to him, or something that the mentoree feels they cannot conquer or overcome without proper help and inspiration. I have often wanted to take a few golf lessons, and although I don't take time for golf, I really do like to play the game. And I would really like for an experienced golfer to watch me putt and watch me chip and especially watch me tee off, knowing, you see, that observance would lead to the gathering of information about my skill level and my strengths and my weaknesses. I would then like that person to share their observations with me through feedback, encouraging me and teaching me the correct method. After several lessons and several more rounds of golf, I would like the golf expert to evaluate me again, to see if I have successfully implemented the new learning. At times, I'm sure I would say, I can't do this. And I would need plenty of encouragement and motivation. I'm sure I would need the expert to model correct golf swings for me. I not only need to hear about it, but I need to see it as well. I need to have someone model it. This is how it should be, Terry. This is the way you keep your ball centered. The expert may even provide further resources for me, such as a good illustrative golf book, or a tip or two on reading greens. This is exactly the kind of thing that a coaching mentor does. And finally, on that day when my drives no longer slice, the lessons will be over. The expert has helped me play golf much, much better, and I have performed a task. I have successfully teed off without slicing the ball. Now, you haven't seen me play golf, and so you would know, had you seen me, that this would really be quite an accomplishment. A former parishioner wanted to purchase a sweatshirt for me that said this: if it goes to the left, it's a hook. If it goes to the right, it's a slice. And if it goes straight, it's a miracle. So for me to learn to hit the ball without it slicing would really be quite an accomplishment. Usually, this type of coaching relationship is initiated by the mentoree. They recognize a need. They seek out an experienced individual to coach them, and the relationship ends when the necessary skills are acquired. Now again, mentorees seek out coaches they are attracted to. And there can be a great amount of accountability within this particular relationship if it's needed, because both coaches and mentorees more fully understand that in order to accomplish a specific task or successfully complete an important challenge, discipline is required, along with routinely practicing important skills. You see, serious mentorees know that there is a price to be paid for success. And the level of discipline and the level of accountability varies with the need and the determination of the mentoree. You don't overcome a challenge or a new task by simply thinking about it or wishing you could overcome it. there has to be some discipline involved and some learning and usually some practice that will enable you to move to the next level of success, whether that's handling a basketball, learning a new skill in your trade, or any other type of challenging situation or task that arises in your life. While watching the Olympics on television as a young man, I decided to be a boxer. The medal rounds seemed to always involve the Americans and the Cubans. I mean, they were the best. And Sugar Ray Leonard was awesome. And the Spinks brothers caught my breath. See, I was going to be a boxer, and I was going to win the gold medal. And I was going to stand on the winner's platform, proudly watching the American flag being raised in front of millions of people as I stood there with a gold medal around my neck. Well, the following day, I set out to jog a few miles. And I must confess that that was the end of my boxing career. See, I just wanted to be in the final gold medal round. At that young age, I didn't understand the hard work and the discipline and the continual practice that it took to achieve that level of success. I didn't have the faintest idea. I just thought you went out there and started throwing some punches, that it was somehow just a natural ability. So in my moment of pain, which, by the way, came relatively quickly for me, I quit. I had no coach. I had no level of accountability. And I had no discipline. If I had those things, I probably could have gone much farther than the first day of jogging. Although probably not to the Olympics, I could have gone a lot farther than I did. And this is why the coaching relationship is listed under the intensive level of mentoring. Everybody needs coaching in something because we don't have everything down. There are tasks, some more challenging than others, some that arise in our lives that are monumental tasks. And we're going to quit in the moment of pain unless we have a coach that will provide for us the skills and the information and the accountability and the inspiration and cheerleading for us that we need in order to conquer that task or successfully complete a challenge. Everybody needs coaching in something because none of us is perfect. And what we need to be coached in changes as we grow in age and grow in maturity and as the circumstances of our lives fluctuate. But everyone also can coach something to someone, but it does require effort. See, everybody needs coaching in something, and everyone really can coach something to someone. So if we could just match those two up, we could have empowerment happening on a large scale that impacts and influences people's lives for Christ. So within the intensive level of mentoring, the role of discipler is the most intensive type of mentoring, followed by the spiritual guide, and finally, the coach. The discipler usually works with new believers in the basic skills necessary to follow Christ. The mentoree is moved from dependence upon the mentor to a healthy independence and self-motivated pursuit of God. The spiritual guide usually works with those who have been Christians for years. And often the issues include maturity, commitments, motivations, integrity, accountability, and how to deal with very specific spiritual concerns. In this particular mentoring relationship, the mentoree is moved from independence to interdependence. And see, here's where the maturity comes in. Here's where the growth is coming in. Independence is good. It is absolutely essential. But mentorees must not only be self-motivated in the pursuit of following Christ, but they must also follow that pursuit while interacting with other believers, the body of Christ, and all those who profess to know the Lord. So it's one thing to move from dependence to independence, to stand on your own two feet, to be self-motivated to serve the Lord and grow. That's good and that's needed. But the next step, the next level, is to learn how to pursue that and live out the Christian life in the midst of the Christian community while interacting with others. And we need a great deal of maturity in this area. Much of the conflict that is experienced in churches today is not so much theological or doctrinal issues, but the vast majority of them deal with interpersonal relations. How do we interact and react with each other? You see, we are a community, and so this mentoring relationship moves the mentoree from independence to interdependence. We need each other, and let's begin to work at it and learn how to live with each other and love each other and work with each other and encourage each other and live out our Christian faith to the best of our abilities with each other. Coaches help mentorees develop and sharpen certain skills and abilities in order to successfully complete a task or perform a new challenge. And as we make our way through life, the challenges and the difficult tasks will arise and we face them head on. And are we going to be successful? Are we going to conquer that and overcome that task and complete it in a healthy manner that brings glory to God, that strengthens us, and in a way that is successful, that moves us to a new level of challenges and tasks? Coaches help us do that. These three types of mentors are listed in the intensive category because they require a greater degree of responsibility. They demand a greater degree of time commitments. and commitments from both the mentor and the mentoree in this type of relationship. As a matter of fact, just by the very nature of what the mentor and mentoree are trying to accomplish, the very nature of the intensive level means there is a greater degree of responsibility and time and commitment involved for both parties. As a matter of fact, the degree of empowerment that takes place, that is, the amount of growth and development within the mentoree, is directly related to the degree to which responsibility, commitment, and accountability take place in the relationship. Now, what I'm saying basically is this. The more accountability and the more commitment you have from both parties, you're going to have greater growth. And because of the accountability, these people in these type of relationships are very serious about development and growth and expanding and stretching in areas and ways that they've never been stretched and expanded before. They're serious. And they're looking for someone to help them. And the intensive level of mentoring provides really the greatest degree of empowerment because of the very nature of the relationship.